great speaker, and someone next to me said, "Don't you say that every lunch?" I think I do. Okay, so real excited. This lunch, I'm gonna introduce Brad in just a minute, but I want to hand over the phone here to Tom with C12 Business Forums, and he is the sponsor for this lunch. Him and his company helped make this happen to bring Brad into Reno to be able to speak to us today. So I'm gonna give the microphone. Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna give the microphone and I'll introduce Brad.
Thank you, Tim. You know, as Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one another sharpens another. And the whole idea behind Proverbs 27:17 is how do we support each other in our walk? And with respect to, you know, how you can live out Proverbs 27:17, there are some tremendous resources out there in Reno today. Of course, there's Encounter Ministry, a lot of you are familiar with. There's this monthly lunch. It's another way that we can all come together and work to grow the way that we can bring Jesus into the workplace. But there's also some other great organizations that are represented here today. There's Convene. David Little with Convene. Several Convene members here today. There's FCCI, Fellowship of Christian Companies International. A very robust, active chapter within FCCI. You can find out more about that from Tim, from Alan Batt, several other participants, Greg as well, with FCCI. And there's C12, the organization I'm with. We provide a space where Christian business owners, business leaders can come together monthly in an all-day forum with their peers. Not just to exchange ideas, but to really challenge one another to become better leaders. And doing that through avoiding costly mistakes or just being more intentional about bringing Jesus into the workplace. All with the kind of striving to create eternal impact that really goes far beyond the bottom line. So C12, even though we've been around 30 years, we've got 5,000 members, we're international now, we've never had a presence here in Reno. So it's very exciting to share that just starting earlier this year, we've now started the first C12 forum that has ever existed in Reno. And it's very exciting to be a part of that. I feel very humbled, very honored to be a part of that. And again, we're just getting started, literally in January. So I appreciate the opportunity today to sponsor this great event. Just as a way to get the word out about what we're doing within C12 to kind of live out what Billy Graham said years ago, that the next revival will happen in the marketplace. Amen. So with that, I do want to say I'm going to be having an informational meeting right here in this room in about 3 weeks on Wednesday, May 20th. So there's information on the round table and back. I'll be there later after the meeting as well. So I encourage you to stop by and we can talk more about that. And we're very, I'm excited to hear Brad speak. He spoke at our C12 forum last week. And the two words I would describe Brad, two words you never hear together, godly attorney. And for an attorney, he's especially witty and humorous as well. So again, thank you, Brad, for being here. And again, thank you for the opportunity today.
All right, Brad, if you come on up, I'm going to read your bio as you are on your way up here. So we're in for a special treat today, and I really mean it. Brad came to Reno a couple of years ago and spoke at a dinner that was in conjunction with FCCI. That's when I first met him, Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. And so he is just a leader in the field of fighting for religious freedom and parental rights. So here's a couple things about Brad, University of Texas Law.
Well, I'm an Aggie undergrad, so okay. I'm a geek.
All right. Founded the Pacific Justice Institute in 1997. 30-year party next year?
Ooh. Next year, yeah.
Okay, there we go. And then here's their mission. They offer legal, free of charge, services to defend faith and family. Okay, Brad's been featured on Fox News, Epic Times, Tucker Carlson, How's Tucker doing?
Yeah, it was right before he was taken off the air, so I haven't.
I like to have fun up here, in case you haven't noticed. Yeah. I like to have a little bit of fun. He has Brad, he's on over 1,000 radio stations weekly. He can tell you a little bit more about the three different programs that he does. So he's just a voice that's leading in this country on helping religious freedom and parents' rights. He's spoken in front of the United States House of Representatives and the California State Legislature many times. So let's welcome Brad to Christian Business Connection.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, and I know that that attorneys were often joked about, and everyone's picking on lawyers all the time. So I just want to set the record straight. It's the 99% out there that give us 1% of bad reputation. Most of you laugh. Anyway, in fact, do we have any attorneys here? Like anyone who's okay, I don't smell any. Okay, there's one. Okay, here. No, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And Pacific Justice Institute, let me give you a little bit of my history, how I got it going. I was back in 1997. In fact, if you guys can't hear me, can you guys hear me in the back? Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
If you can't hear me, go like this. And then if I'm talking too fast, go like this. And then I'll do like I do when I'm in Tyler, Texas. And I'll slow it down. So. But anyway, and I just offended someone from Tyler, probably. Tyler's a great place. Love the roses. So, back in 1987, I was Western Regional Coordinator for an organization back east called Rutherford Institute. And I had an office in Sacramento, built up a network of attorneys throughout the 14 Western states, coordinating litigation. Everything was going really smooth. What happens in life when everything is finally really smooth? You're finally on cruise control? But suddenly, a cow gets in the middle of the road, and you have to go left or right and have lots of hamburger meat. And that line works much better in Texas. So that's what happens. So the national office called and said, Brad, we're shutting down your regional office. We're having to scale back, but we don't want to lose you. So we want to promote you to have our public affairs office in Washington, D.C. You'll be the media face, the voice of the organization to represent us before Congress. You have a higher salary. A larger staff, a higher salary. And of course, I said yes, because you don't have to pray when God is closing one door and opening another one. He just, yes, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Higher salary.
And then I had,
Higher salary.
Higher salary, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a clear calling of the Lord, clearly. Higher salary. So then I couldn't sleep. And I still couldn't sleep. Next night, I couldn't sleep. Still couldn't sleep. Finally, I went, oh, shoot, I have to pray. Now, why was that my attitude? I'm just being raw with you guys. The reason is because in my life, whenever there's a fork in the road and there's one way that's the easy way and this other way requiring faith, it's harder. I'm always, when I pray and seek the Lord, I'm always convicted to do the hard way, just how my life works. So I didn't really want to pray, but I had no choice. I was not going to get any sleep. So I prayed, and when I did, what the Lord brought to my mind was this question, which is, Brad, what desires has God put on your heart? What's the passion? The answer was to make sure people got the help where it's needed the most on the West Coast when it comes to religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life. Next question, what do I choose to follow? The passions that are on my heart or something else like my obsession with security and playing it safe? And that's one of our themes today is playing it safe isn't safe. If we know we're going divergent to the call of God and the passions he's put on our hearts. So with boldness and courage, convicted with boldness and courage, I said, yes, Lord, I will rise to the call. I will rise to the challenge. I will boldly, on several conditions. Just what happened. I said, I got to make sure this is from you. So I need to have free office space indefinitely donated in the city of Sacramento. Free computer system. Keep me on the radio stations for free. There were two at the time. We had to be in the Black God in just 3 months. I'm never going to charge anyone for any work we ever do, ever. I thought it was very reasonable my business model. Maybe he's weird. Yeah. So, as it turns out, God came through in all of it. The office space was particularly miraculous because I thought, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm looking for free office space because I don't have to. I told God, and if he doesn't get it, give it to me, I'm off the hook. So he said, I'm sort of telling you where I'm at here, okay? Like, Jonah and I are going to connect pretty well in heaven. You know, it's like, yeah, I took the boat. It didn't work out well, you know. But I'm just sitting here, and so it's the last month. I'm shutting down the Rutherford office. I get a call, and the guy says, yeah, you don't know me. I haven't told anyone I'm looking for free office space, right? He goes, yeah, you don't know me, but I heard you needed, I'm so-and-so, I heard you needed free office space. I have free office space for you. Now, instead of saying, praise the Lord, this is a sign, no. I said, how'd you know I need office space? And it was so brash and loud, my secretary, Pamela, in the other room hears it. She quickly comes in, goes, can you put it on hold? Excuse me, sir, can I put you on hold? Great, yeah. Well, look, Pamela. She goes, you don't know this, but before I knew they were shutting down our office, 2 months ago, I knew our lease was going to be expiring, and I know you're always wanting to save money for the organization, so I thought I'd surprise you, and I called KYCC Radio, asked them to put a free public service announcement, they were looking for free office space. I looked at her and went, that was not you. That was not Pamela. That was how God works. I said, yes, we need office space. So anyway, fast forward. We now have 37 offices coast to coast, all donated office space.
Wow.
Because it works the first time, it'll work the next time. And then God has been very gracious when we came to opening an office in Oregon. That was our first time out of state. We had so many cases, we had to hire an attorney. And Ray Hackey was the only one that was really qualified. He was in our San Francisco Bay Area. But his wife worked for a private school. His parents lived in the Bay Area. I mean, would he want to go to Oregon? So my chief counsel and I were talking about this on a Friday. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, let's pray about it over the weekend. I'll call him on Monday, just see if he's interested. I didn't pray about it over the weekend. And this was one of those culture things. Yeah, let's pray. We'll pray about it. But you don't. Maybe I'm the only one that ever falls into that. So I didn't pray. Monday morning comes along. Do I call him first thing? No, I don't want to call him. Because I know he's gonna say no, it's gonna go back. So I'm holding off. He calls me at 10 a.m. He says, Brad, this is Ray. I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say it. I can't continue working for PJI. I can't stay here. I can't afford to buy a shack here in the Bay Area. I know your budget. I know you guys are frugal and all. I get it. So anyway, I just want to let you know that my wife and I have decided we're going to move to Oregon. I said, did anyone in the office talk to you over the weekend? Did Kevin talk to you? Because I pray with one eye open, okay? You know, so he goes, why? No one's talking about Oregon. Why? Because on Friday we decided we wanted you to move to Oregon and open an office. That's just how God works. So I just want to let you know I don't lose sleep because I've just seen the hand of God. He is so faithful. And the older we get, the more we see his faithfulness and intervention, and that's what builds our faith. However, if we do not step out and follow God, our faith is not going to grow, and our joy is not going to grow because our joy comes with obedience. Now, I want to, before I forget, on your table is this card right here. How many of you get our case updates or emails? Raise your hand high. Okay, a number of you, okay. Okay, they agree. So for the others, anyway, if you'd like to fill this out, that'd be great. At least the top half, at the very least. I'd really mean a lot to you personally. Let me keep you updated with our cases. We have over 130 cases in active litigation, and it's exciting what we're seeing happening. And some of our cases are pretty dramatic. One's dealing with Seattle, where we're defending a Korean women's spa. Now, Korean is very significant when I say this. It's not just a woman's spa. It's a Korean woman's spa. Korean spas are not a place to go if you get cold easily or are really modest because you don't wear any clothes at all. That's why it's a women's spa. Well, you know what the rest of the story is. Man wants to go in. They say, no, we're Christians. Christian-owned. Absolutely not. We won't let you come in there with 13-year-old girls and their mothers naked and exposing yourself. He calls the Washington Human Rights Commission. This is George Orwell, 1984, all over again, where it says one thing, but it really means the opposite. It's the Bigotry Bureau. So they try to command and order them to let this man go in whenever he wants and be naked in front of the girls and the teenagers. So we at Pacific Justice were contacted. We filed a lawsuit. Make a long story short, we now have an appeal with the United States Supreme Court petition for cert filed. I think we have a very good chance they're going to take it up. It's a great case. Another case we have pending for the Supreme Court right now is down in San Diego, where a church-run Christian preschool was shut down. One of the reasons, because the children were, quote, compelled to sing Christian songs and hear Bible stories. It's a church-run Christian private preschool. This is not the former Soviet Union, right? I just aged myself, didn't I? Anyway. So that is on appeal right now to the Supreme Court. We've had other cases as well dealing with the workplace. We have cases dealing with pronouns. Many may be aware, the Supreme Court, under interpreted Title VII, when it comes to discrimination, to apply to gender confused, they say it's used the word transgender. Trans implies you can change, you can't change it, so I say gender or gender distorted. And so that's a real issue that you have as a Bostock case. So that's a real issue. There's still some things that they haven't addressed, which is the rights of people of faith not to have to compromise their faith, because that's protected under Title VII, which we do a ton of work on. And so that's a real important. So we've got a case where we're dealing with an employee, and she worked for a blood center, a medical center in Michigan, and she was told, you have to now use different pronouns for this person, a different name. They said, look, I can't do that, because that to me is blasphemy against the Creator, and I'm not doing that to the Lord. So I tell you what, I just want to use the pronouns, no pronouns, I'll refer to them by their last name. How's that? They said, you're fired. That was their accommodation. You're fired. So we filed a lawsuit, and that's an ongoing case litigation. Another example was a man who was, his job was, as far as with the sheriff's department, was to, you have to do frisking. And so men frisk men, women, officers frisk women. Well, you know where this goes. There's a woman who says, I see myself as a man. A man has to frisk me. I'm a man. And he says, I can't do that. And so he was fired. So these are some of the issues we're dealing with that are very important. The good news is, I'm very optimistic that this Supreme Court is moving in the right direction, and we're going to see this thing settled in the next few years, if not sooner. So this is a real positive on that end. So I'd like to talk now about the positive things you can do in the workplace to share your faith, but there really isn't much I could talk about. There's really not much here. Is there any questions? I'm just teasing. Okay, here we go. First, let's talk about your mission statement. Your mission statement, it not only can reflect your faith, it should reflect your faith. If you're a closely held business, like a family-owned business, this is actually helpful. It makes people say, I don't want to put my faith, because then I'm going to get sued. And they're going to say, see, they're discriminatory, they're religious. The Hobby Lobby case made it really clear. No, you can have protection under Title VII as a religious, as a person, as a business can be a person if it's closely held. And it's very clearly proven that you have strong religious beliefs and convictions that you can validate. So having your mission statement reflect your faith is, you can do that. But let's say your job is producing widgets. Your mission statement, you can have the goal of this business is to produce high quality, affordable widgets to the glory of God and serving and love the people in this community, something like that. So that's an example. I should have done one funnier, but that's just funny. I'll do that to you. What about hiring? Your business name can reflect as well. You can have, Jesus loves you, carpet cleaning. Or you could be a little more coy and say, Cornerstone Financial. It's Cornerstone, So whatever, you can reflect it however you want to. Now, there's probably a Cornerstone Financial
there. There is.
I think it's a wonderful company, and I think it's a good name, I really do. It's very professional, but it has that, bent to it, which I like. So, hopefully I just saved myself. All right. Now, let's talk about hiring employees. You can't ask someone, when you're interviewing someone for a job, you can't say, so tell me, Tom, Where do you go to church? Do you go to church? If so, where do you go to church? Are you pre or post millennial? And I said, really? Well, exactly which verse do you know? You can't do that. You can't go into that. But here's what you can do, and this is what people don't realize. You can be open, and you should be open, in fairness to the employee, about the extent to which your company is a company of faith. So, let them say, you know, say, Tom, I just want you to, I can't ask you about your faith, but here's what I want to let you know about what we, first you want you to say that. Just say, Tom, I want to let you know about our business. We are a faith, a Christian-based business. We don't discriminate in our hiring. But we do have a Bible study. We play Christian music to encourage us. We do go on short-term mission trips. We do this and this and this. And you know, this is our mission statement. This is what we're about. Now, Tom, I'm not going to ask you about your faith. I can't do that. But let me just ask you, would you feel comfortable working for a company like ours, as I just described? Yeah. They may say, sure. You'd be surprised how much body language they don't people are going from. Sure. That's not good. But they're more likely to be a little more coy and say, yeah, sure. What do you do then? You want them to really find out. So I believe in the power of the pause. So let's say I ask you, Tom. So Tom, would you feel comfortable working for a company based on what I like ours, like what I just told you? And say sure.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, see? he couldn't be silent. Because you have to speak, right? It's the power of the pause. Feel free to use it. Also, it's the power of the stomach. So you go, where's he going with this? So I like to schedule interviews sometimes so that they're right, looking right next to lunch. And I believe in long interviews. Short interviews, I don't believe those. 30-minute stuff, really. People can be an actor for 30 minutes pretty easily, or an actress. So I just have a buck up to lunchtime, and I say, you know what? It's all right, it's lunchtime, and are you hungry? I said, I'm sort of hungry myself, and I don't know if you have time, but I still want to talk to you more, and I really enjoy our conversation, Tom. Did you want to walk over to the Wendy's and get something to eat with me? I says, we can talk and visit over there and have lunch. Would you like? Sure. So then you walk over to lunch. And then as you get out of the office setting, it's sort of like a little more relaxed. So they want to unbutton, you know, their jacket. And then they say, well, you know, let me tell you about what happened, why I really was fired. I mean, this boss was the biggest jerk. You know, he always kept saying, Jesus loves you. And I just kept, you know. So I'm just saying, use time. Time is on your side. There's no regulation limiting the time of your interview as a general rule. So there's probably something out there I'm not aware of, but I can't think of it on that one. Those are some of the rules on an interview I think may help you. Christian Bible studies, can you have them? Yes. And you can have prayer in the workplace. You can do that. That's a very valuable thing to do. You know, the key is to make sure that you don't have outside chaplains coming into your business, because they are very. I just woke some of you up. How many chaplains do you have here? Raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Okay. The opposite is true. If you're going to have a Bible study in a ministry, I love having fun. A Bible study in your company, it's best, it's a no-brainer to have an outside chaplain come in. And let me tell you why. If you have someone on the inside, say it's a high-level management, and let's say you have a Bible study, and let's say this employee, let's pick on someone. Let's say Jeff here. He just pours out himself, and he just says, yes, I just need prayer because you guys are so caring. I'm struggling in this area of sin of X, Y, and Z. And, oh, yeah, we'll pray for you. Well, Jeff doesn't realize it, but tomorrow he's going to be fired. And he'll be fired by the person who is leading the Bible study. What does that say? It says, awesome lawsuit for the employee, not the employer. And you don't want that. So what you want to do to protect yourself, you want to create a firewall. And so you want to, ideally it's best to have, that's where the outside person coming in, chaplain is really valuable. They're not expensive. I could be a salesman for you guys. So there's marketplace chaplains, there's corporate chaplains of America. Is there a new way? Those are the two I'm so familiar with. So those are great, and take a look at those, and you can decide. But it's real important strategically to do that. It creates a barrier. So if they are fired the next day, you've got a shield there, and the chaplain keeps confidentiality. So you're protected. That's real important. Sharing your faith as a business owner, you can do that. You can have a natural course of conversation. Now, let's say you have someone who just joined the company. And let's see, what's your name, Joe?
Joe.
Let's say Joe, he just joined the company. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but I want to know. Where do I connect with him? So I say, hey, Joe, you just joined the company. Welcome. It's so glad. Did you have a nice weekend?
Great weekend.
Did you? I had a great weekend, too. Yesterday we went to church, and afterward, the pastor did this funniest thing happen. He almost tripped on the stage, and then he gave a sermon on being, you know, stable and non-wavering. It was just so funny. And I just made that up. So, and it was so funny, Joe. And then I'd be looking at Joe. Now, if Joe's a Christian, how's he going to respond to that? He's going to say, oh, you go to church. What church do you go to? Well, I go to such and such. And he goes, oh, I go to church. I go to church as well. I go, okay, I know. Okay, where he's at. So where do you go? Oh, I go to such and such. So that's, you got a rapport there. But if he just goes, doesn't say anything, I say, oh, Joe's probably one of those non-believers. Okay. No, but so you know where he's at. Now, the next thing is when something happens in Joe's life, let's say his wife has surgery or his kid gets hurt or something like this, say, hey, Joe, I don't want to bother you, but I heard your wife is having surgery, or I just want to show my wife how I'm going to be praying for her and lifting her up in prayer, and you know, I hope it goes well for you, you know. And then you start talking about, you know, how those Dodgers do, didn't they? Because you don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. But you plan, once again, let them know you not just go to church, but you're active in your faith. And the third point is have your door open and relationally, so that that when something really happens and he's really open to the Lord, he'll come into your office and he'll ask you questions. You can respond to that. So like in Petaluma, California, we trained a business owner that you can have Christian music. And a man comes in, he goes, this music, is this Christian music? And the boss says, yeah. He goes, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. He goes, so what does it mean to be a Christian? And he answered the question. And then to the extent to which the employee is asking, the employer can respond. We want to be careful not to go beyond that, so that he can say, I just want to ask him one question. And he starts going through the four spiritual laws. I feel so harassed and so intimidated. This is causing me a mental and emotional breakdown. And I'm needing, you know, 24/7 nurse care. You know, and here's the bill that my lawyer gave me. So you want to be very careful to be responsive during work time. But what about just sharing your testimony? Can you just share your testimony to all your employees? Yes, you can, but it's how you do it. You don't want them to ever be compelled to have to listen to your monologue of your testimony. So how you want to do it is you want to be sure and send an email out saying, hey, I know all of you, we work hard here, and we often don't have time to visit. Some of you, I'm sure, may be wondering what makes me tick, what drives me to start the company and to what drives me in my work and what I do here at this company. So and for those of you who are interested, feel free to read the attached story. It's totally optional. It's not related to any, you know, employment or any other issue that, you know, or anything dealing with the company. There's some language you can help you with that. But anyway, put that in there, and then they click it, and they're going to hear and read your testimony about how you have become such an awesome, holy man or woman of God, and how, no, that's not even, because that's what Satan is telling you you're supposed to say. And they're going to say, I'm not. They heard my language about first quarter earnings. They've seen me. They've seen me. We're all human, right? So instead, your testimony is about what? It's about God and His grace and how He's working on you and how you became a Christian, et cetera, et cetera. That's your testimony. And you're still being sanctified, right? So don't let that keep you from sharing the story of where God has you right now. Okay? Don't let your fear of that keep you from that. Pray about it. If you want us to look at it, we'll be happy to look at it. And maybe some people will help you too as well. They can say, no, there's more bad things about you when you put on there, your shoulder. Anyway, but it's something you can work on. And also about celebrating holidays. You can have a winter holiday. No. You can have a Christmas. You can say Merry Christmas. You can have a Christmas party. Now, what if you have, it can be a required, mandated Christmas party. But let's say there's an employee who says, look, I'm this faith, I'm a different faith, I'm Orthodox Jewish or Muslim. And, you know, I really can't go to this party. It's no problem. No problem at all. So let's say you give out a gift at the Christmas party. You should make sure that the person who opted out, make sure they get that same gift. So if you gave a free ham to everyone, make sure you give the ham to them. Let's see, yeah, be sensitive. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm supposed to, I'm a Jewish employee, and I need to make sure that I put a Hanukkah there, you know, a menorah, there we go, menorah, you know, so I can make sure that, you know, maybe not. You be sensitive. Sometimes they'll think, you know, why are they, I feel so awkward, I'm the token, and this is like the token menorah because I'm here. Sometimes people feel uncomfortable. So sometimes we're trying to reach out and make someone comfortable, we actually make them uncomfortable. So do some wisdom there, be sensitive, and that you're free, you have a lot of freedom in that regard. And it could be a Christian, you can sing Silent Night, you just sing Jingle Bells. My wife and I, we have a Christmas party at our house, and it's exciting, and we have everything, and I have a talk time, and it's outside, and I've got speakers, so I don't know how many neighbors have heard the gospel, but the point is, you have that freedom to do that. And it's a great time to do that. As far as religious materials at work, yes, you're free to have religious materials at work. Don't hold back. You have a Bible or purpose-driven life books given out. How many? As many as you want. You can have it in the lunchroom with a little sign saying, you know, one per person. Or you can have the receptionist have them and just let them know if you want a free Bible or free whatever, maybe whatever book you're pushing that week. Could be apologetics book, Is God Real? I love that, by the way. I think apologetics is a really great introduction to it for people who are non-believers. It really gets them thinking. Sometimes they have like really things that are logical to them, but they open them and they read, they realize, wait a minute, this is not a logical conclude, you know, element why I shouldn't believe. I should, you know, so apologetics can be great, but you can get those out. But what about the Muslim who says, I want to give our holy book, you know, we want to give this out. Do you have to let that happen? No, this is your company. Say, well, you can get those out outside the work time, outside the company, but this is our company, we're a Christian company, this is what we're doing. So you can do that. And Christian music, I already mentioned that, you can play Christian music. What if an employee says, look, I am of a different faith, I'm Hindu, this offends me, so I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't play this Christian music. Do you have to stop playing it? No. You have a couple options. One is you can say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll move you to a place where you won't have to hear the music. That may not be possible. So there's option two, where you say, you're fired. No, Jesus. That's not an option for that. You get in trouble. So you want to reasonably accommodate them under Title VII. So you can't move them. Option number two might be, well, I tell you what, you know, we can't move you anywhere. Music is everywhere. So if you want to wear earplugs, headphones, we'll provide that for you. Feel free to do so. You can do that. That's fine. That may or may not be good enough. Or number three, you can say, you know what, we want to be sensitive to that. So we'll play music without words. And it's still Christian music. And it'd be a great lawsuit. I shouldn't say it like that. But it really would be a good one. You know, they're suing, and they say, what? But it's just, there's no lyrics. It's just notes. Yeah, but there's a spiritual dimension. Like, what are you talking? You're So this is really about you and God, it seems like, not about the employer, you know. Anyway, cross-examination would be so awesome. Okay. So, it's funny. Okay. Christian pictures, posters displayed, no problem. You can do that. We had a business. It was a swimming with swimmers business in Salinas, California. And they had Christian music, Christian posters. They had the parents sign acknowledgement that Christian music, Christian posters are on the walls, but no time will the child ever be compelled to practice religious faith or participate in any religious activities. Mother is an atheist, says, no, I'm not signing this, and she sued. And she got some slick bully attorney, thought, I'll file a lawsuit, make $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 easy. But the family, the business, contacted us, and we represented for about 2 years of litigation. And finally, the judge says, look, you can't, as long as they're not discriminating against who they're providing services for and or who they're hiring, they can be as religiously zealous as they wish. And that's not the only case. There's one out of Washington State, something very similar. We defended a Bible study in Oregon, and he hired ex-convicts, because he himself was an ex-convict who came to Jesus. He had a Bible study. One of them just quit, and then he sues him. Because he says he was of a different faith, but he never let the employer know that he doesn't want to go to the Bible study, but violates his faith, or his Indian religion that he had. I think that's what it was, or what he claimed, for legal purposes, possibly. So so we came in, and we represented him, and we prevailed. So those are some examples. One nice thing about what I'm saying is I'm not giving you theory like a professor. I'm someone who, like a soldier from the front lines, you're just coming back and then telling you what's going on and what works. So hopefully it's got some confidence because of that. We've been doing this a long time. And do it all without charge. So that's a miracle. The lawyer just said that, without charge. Employer, so interaction. A creative outreach to the community. Real quickly, let me say this. I you see the time frame here. I don't want to run out of time, so I got to go through this quickly. As an employer, you're able to choose different ways to engage and outreach your community, like Vacation Bible School. You can find out all the VBSs and post those. Say, here's all the VBSs in this town for the whole summer. Non-believers say, great, free babysitting. And you, if you want to say, look, those that charge, find out how much they cost, and say, let me know which ones you're going to have your child go to, and we'll pay for that. They're going to love you for that. The kids are going to be so saturated with the gospel and the Bible. It's going to be great. It's a great tool. Also, the same thing with also matching gifts. You can choose like three charities if you want. And say, these are the three that we're doing. We're not doing United Way. We're going to do these three charities. You choose them. They can be Christian charities. And then let's say you do want a United Way, but you don't like the United Way because they support Planned Parenthood. Look around. We helped the company do this, shift over $1 million of revenue a year, no longer going to the one that was promoting Planned Parenthood. I think it was Ventura. But instead shifted it to support a program that supported pro-life women's clinics. So there's a lot you can do, a lot of freedom there. You can also donate your employees. You know, I'm not smoking anything. You can donate your employees. So, because they're going like, that sounds way out. But as an employer in Southern California, contract construction company, and one day a week, he has his employees choose among like three charities to donate time that one day a week. So it's you can do that. And what if someone says, yeah, these are all three Christian charities. I want to do this one over here, Planned Parenthood. Say, you know what, they're not on our list. So if it violates your faith to do one of these other three, we'll accommodate you and you can just stay in the office and work if you'd rather. But we're not going to monitor other charities out there. These are three that we've checked, we've approved, and you can do that. Creative outreach to employees, you can do this. You can sponsor an organization like Mothers of Preschool. If you help the company in Petaluma or Santa Rosa. And they brought in Mothers of Preschoolers, not into the church, into their company. Once a month, they come and they do a presentation. And if you're an atheist, you'd want this because it gives benefit. It says, we care about you. And that's really powerful in the workplace to go and beyond expectation. Say, well, we have health insurance. Well, of course you have health insurance. Yeah, no surprise. We have a vacation pay. Well, of course you. But when you have things outside that, it really has an impact positive way for your company. Offer scholarships for specific Christian colleges. Just make sure they're really, really Christian. Do your homework. That's all I'm saying. Say you choose three Christian colleges. These are the three we've chosen. And we'll give a $500 scholarship for every semester, so assuming the child has at least 12 hours and 2.0 GPA. They're going to appreciate that. And if they're thinking about moving to another company, they're going to have to say, oh, but wait a minute. Henry, if I leave another company, our son's going to lose the scholarship. So let's at least wait till they graduate. You know? So it's a nice incentive for them to stay there. But also, it's really positive because we want our kids not to be spiritually destroyed, which stats show is usually what happens to 4 out of 5 Christian kids that go to colleges. Christian colleges or who goes to universities. You can bring outside inspirational speakers. You can offer tickets to Christian events. Just make sure the boss is the one giving them out. Make sure it's the receptionist and they're not keeping tally of who's taking the tickets and who isn't. Mission trips. You can have your employees go on short-term mission trips. That's protected. You can do that. The Truth Project. That's just one thing you can possibly bring in. Any of you have employees with union members at all?
This is Nevada, bro.
I love this state, by the way. I have to confess something. It's not just because I live in California, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this place is a really nice place to live. Maybe my wife would like to live here in Reno. You know, I was talking to someone the other year. It's pretty clean here, huh? Yeah, but we'll see. But this is a great place. You guys are really fortunate and blessed. And so those are some of the, on that issues. I want to just give you a real brief perspective on something here, and this is the proper perspective. Ezekiel chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to give you my whole sermon. I do guest preach. I'm expository, and I preach for free. I don't charge anything. I pay for my travel, so if you ever want me to guest preach, just let my office know. I love preaching more than suing people. I got to reword that. Okay. Anyway. So, that was that. I'm glad you guys laughed. Okay. Anyway, the book of Esther, real quick story. So the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, after being prodded by this bad guy, Haman, issues an order, seal, for all the Jews to be killed several months away, like 9 months away, month of March. All of them can be killed, period. Esther is a Jewish queen. She's Jewish, but they don't know she's Jewish, and she's the queen. Mordecai raised her, he's a relative. He finds out about it, and he approaches her and says, make the case before the king. Let him know, you got to save your people. All the Jews are going to be slaughtered. This is, and so she says this, he says to her, after finding out that she's, says, no, I could be killed, I could be killed. He says, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. So, in other words, Esther, don't take the easy route. Easy, the safe route, isn't, right? It says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will not happen. And they're all, that's not what it says. It says, here. It says relief, deliverance, release for the Jews will arise from some other place. This is really significant. But you and your relatives will die. Now, why is this significant? Because he said a message. He says, Esther, God doesn't need you. Because sometimes we think, boy, God really needs me. You see where I'm at. Without me, there's half of Reno won't get together. No, no. God doesn't need us. He can make the rocks and the trees do what he wants, what he needs done. He doesn't need us. And yet sometimes we're scared. Conversely, we're scared to get involved and to reach out and to have an impact. Well, first off, let me just say this. Book of Revelations is still there no matter what happens. The election doesn't turn out the way you want. Just go through the book of Revelations. I think you're running for office, aren't you?
I am.
So I'm sure it's going to be a great outcome. Probably. No.
So, regardless.
But either way, Revelations, every jot and tittle, no matter what happens, right? But also, if he doesn't need us, then why is he calling us? Well, let me give you an analogy. I want you to mention your favorite football team. Who is your favorite football team? Say all that.
Bears.
That's right, Dallas Cowboys. So, sounds a joke, okay. So there you are, the front row. It's fourth down, fourth quarter, 5 seconds on the clock. You're 5 points behind. Your team has it on the ball on the 5 yard line. It's fourth down, 5 seconds left. This is a Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. And then the coach says, timeout. And you're like, what's he doing? And then he turns to you and he says, you, over there. You're like, me? You quickly run over there and say, yes, what? He goes, okay, quick, put on the pads, get up, put on the helmet, get out there. I want you to be quarterback for the last play of the game. What would you be saying after peeing your pants? What would you say? You'd be saying, no, I'm not the one. I broke my thumb in seventh grade playing flag football the first play of the game. That's actually true, by the way. This is too much. We're going to lose. And he just looks at you and goes, no, you see, you don't understand. I already know the outcome of this game. We win. I just want to give you an opportunity to share in the joy that comes with being a part of the team and on the field and being obedient. That's what God has really given us. He hasn't given us any burdens. He doesn't need us. He has given us the privilege to experience the joy that comes with obedience and sharing out and reaching out to people and to see what happens. The greatest joy, I love Saint Planned Parenthood, but my greatest joy is when people come to Jesus. I really love to see Planned Parenthood. So, is there someone from Planned Parenthood? And then finally, I want to say it's not about where we are. It's about such a time as this. Where he says, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Each of us, we forget, are placed here at an incredible time. We have time and space by God's providence. Right now, we're experiencing the last over a year revival. Statistically, revival. Males under the age of 30, 10 years ago, 28%. Well, let me say females first. 10 years ago, 30% thought religion was very important. In recent poll, 30% think religion is really important. It was under 30. Males, it was 28% thought religion was very important. But they've changed. It's 42%. There are more males coming to Christ than females. There are more males coming down the altar to receive Jesus than females. It's extremely powerful what's taking place. Bible sales are up 36%. And when I'm speaking at churches, I'm seeing more people respond than normal. It's just God is moving. So do you want to be in the bleachers at a time like this? Or do you want to be on the field saying, God, what do you want me to do? We're in an incredible time of harvesting. What do you want me to do? And then to seek the Lord. Don't be methodical. Seek the Lord about things I've talked about and follow the Lord's direction. Finally, I know there's some of you out there saying, that's a nice thing to say, but Brad doesn't really know me. He doesn't know I'm not really skilled at this or that. I'm not a people person. I don't. Let me tell you a brief story. There was a 16-year-old boy, and he had a major auto accident. Motorcycle went smashing through his windshield. It's a terrible story. He had major brain damage. His whole left side of his face was smashed and crushed. His jaw just kind of had become a large hole on the skull for the brain to swell out. Left frontal lobe dealing with logic, reasoning, analytical skills, and speech communication. Toast. Couldn't remember his brother's name. Just fought to stay alive. The world, as far as the world was concerned, this boy was, in his future, was in the trash. Only pity for what could have been. And yet, our God is a great recycler. And he did an incredible miracle, an incredible restoration. And that young boy ended up getting his degree in finance with a 3.86 in his major at Texas A&M. Went on to one of the top 20 law schools, graduated top half of his class at the University of Texas School of Law. I know him very, very well because it's me. And the reason I'm sharing that story is not so you say, oh, they're the Lord's special one. He's God's anointed. No, just talk to my wife. She'll tell you my halo's still really crooked. you guys know me for a long time. But the point is, that's the whole point. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about who we are. It's about whose we are. If we have truly surrendered our lives to him, received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm going to do the final test here. It's a heart test. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Really? So I'm going to give you a test. Like on the TV commercial, a little heart test. So this is a spiritual heart test. Let's say, hypothetically, no one knows the day and the hour. Got that. Okay. Let's say hypothetically Jesus is coming tomorrow at 1:30. We know for a fact he's coming at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow. What would you be thinking and feeling right now?
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. Too late, you're ready to do your taxes. No. But, or it'd be like, awesome, this is great. Or would it be, oh shoot, I don't know if this is not good, because I don't know if he's going to take me. Because you're saying, I may have gone to church, gone through confirmation, gone through confession, maybe be a deacon, doing all this stuff, but you know, you say to yourself, but I have this dark closet. By the way, we all have dark closets. So I have this dark closet, and it's so bad, my history, what I've done, it's so bad. How could God forgive me for this? Because I can't even forgive myself. You know what we're really saying when we say that? It's like, well, I get to Jesus on the cross. I love having that cross. You're a perfect prop. Thank you. It's like having Jesus on the cross. And there he is, tied to the cross. And he's pouring out his blood on the cross in pain and agony to bear your sins on the cross. And he's crown of thorns. And he's gasping. And you walk up to him. You say, Jesus, nice try. You see, for me, that's just not good enough. And he had a very clear response to that lie, I think, when he said, it is finished. He did it. And all we have to do in humility, it's so simple, is to believe it, that what he did on the cross was it. To believe it and receive what he did on the cross, and be that he forgave your sins, and receive that, and surrender your life to him. Be forgiven, but surrender your life to him to be a follower of Jesus. If you do that, your sin will be wiped away as far as the east is from the west. You'll become a child of the living God. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He promised to never leave you or forsake you, but be with you always, no matter what you're going through. You'll become a child of the Lord, and that can happen right now. What I just shared touched your heart, that's probably the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you've done a lot of stuff. But you've never fully put your faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for you. So I'm going to give you a chance. I want us all to bow our heads before we close up. You're about to close up. If you're one of those people, and there's a good chance there are people here who did feel that tug on their heart. Now's the time. Now's the time to put your faith totally in Jesus. And just say this prayer quietly. So just repeat this quietly to yourself. Just say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You know my past. You know all of my past. And right now, I receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me to bear my death penalty on the cross, to bear my sins on the cross. I believe he rose again from the dead as well. Thank you for that victory that he gives me. I receive that forgiveness right now. And I surrender my life to you right now, God. I'm yours. Whatever that means, I'm yours. My life is yours. Thank you for becoming my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you, Satan is really ticked off because he just lost his hand of dominion in your life. So what I want to encourage you to do is if you just prayed that prayer, this may seem a little awkward. That's okay. I don't mind being awkward. I have brain damage. Okay. So if you want to be, you can laugh at that. Was a joke. So if you want to, I want to clap. If you just pray that prayer, I want to just give Satan a second black eye. He wants you to forget and minimize what just happened. So if you just pray that prayer, I want you just right now just to simply raise your hand so we can clap and welcome you to God's family. You want to pray that for anyone else? Great, let's clap. Awesome. Well, if we can ever serve you in any way, let me know. I'm going to hang around. And God bless you all for letting me be here. It's an exciting time we live in. And if we can ever serve you, I want you to always feel free to give me a call, give our office a call. That's what we're here for. We don't charge. And there's no Amway presentation at the end. Oh, and thank you. Also, if you fill these out, then please just leave them at your table and I'll collect them. But it'd mean a lot to you personally if you could do that so we keep you updated. So anyway, awesome. God bless you guys, and keep up the great work you're doing. Appreciate you.
Was great. Thank you so much, Brad. See, I told you it was going to be a good one. That was fantastic. We basically had three sermons in a row. Kyle Bateson, Wes Duncan last month, and now Brad this month. Okay, so last housekeeping and get us out of here. Normally do Q&A, we're out of time. If you want to hang out, ask Brad some questions, he'll be here for a little bit. On your tables, Encounter Ministries Golf Tournament is coming up. They are the host of this luncheon, so it'd be nice if we could get some support behind them for the golf tournament that's coming up in June. Hope Herald, make sure scan the QR code. That's going to tell you what's going on in the city of Reno as it relates to ministry activity. It's like an online newsletter. So make sure, if you're interested, you want to keep up to date with what's going on in the community. Michael does a really good job of marketing our events and other things going on in the community. And with that, I'm going to pray, and then we will get out of here. So Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your power and your might, and just having us all in this moment right here, right now, Lord, where you've met with us and you've strived to do so. Thank you for the work that he's doing. I pray that you'd encourage him, and I pray that you'd be behind him with the work, God, that he is going forward with. And just thank you so much for his encouragement and his steadfastness and faith. Father, we thank you for all of these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and so make sure you book your calendars. Friday, June 5th, we have a local business owner, Corey Bettinghouse from Corey's Lawn Service. He's going to be speaking to us in June. Really excited to have him. Have a great weekend, everybody.